And all the church said, I hear you out there in Zoom land. Well, good afternoon, good morning, Chicagoland Bible Fellowship Church. Let's go before the Lord. Father, thank you this morning and this afternoon. Thank you for waking us up, for giving us another day in one we can make you look good, Lord. Lord, I pray that in your word today, that we work through this a big issue in life that we all have to deal with, that we continually have to struggle with. I pray that just today what you've laid on my heart helps me and helps each and every one that's listening to this message. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. So, y'all remember that song years ago? There you go. Don't worry. There you go. Well, I think, I know everyone. How many of y'all struggle with worry sometimes? Let's see a show of hands. Amen. As long as we're on this earth, I think we're going to have issues with that. You know, when Pastor had mentioned, his health issue, and he said, don't worry. He got up in front of the congregation and said, don't worry. Don't worry. And that was a big pill to swallow. Don't worry. So how do you go through that? How do you deal with that? How do you stop from worrying? I'm still working on it, amen? I want to share a little story with you guys. When, Victoria, my daughter, our daughter, Hope and I's daughter, when she was going into her sophomore year of high school, she was on the swim team, and I just got this confirmed last night. She had what Hope thought was pink eye, and they sent her home, so Hope had to take her to the doctor, and her normal doctor that she would see was not around, so she saw another doctor, and as the doctor was examining her, she said, so when was she diagnosed with scoliosis, Mom? And my wife said, what do you mean, scoliosis? What are you talking about? She said, she's got scoliosis. So it went and x-rayed her, and sure enough, she was diagnosed with scoliosis, and it was just probably 3 or 4 months earlier that she had a doctor's visit that there was no issue with her back or anything, or at least it wasn't reported by the doctor. So then it went from, so this happened sometime around November time frame. So then it went into, she's got to get, she has to have surgery. She can't, sometimes when a person has scoliosis, you can catch it early enough, they can be put in a brace and it can kind of self-correct. Well, her pattern had went in a direction so bad that she had to have surgery. There wasn't any corrective measures that could be taken. So I'll say this. Went into worry mode. Hello? So now we're trying to figure out when we can schedule her surgery. And she's in high school, she's on the swim team. We're trying to figure out when, we don't want to take her out of school so she misses so much. And we're trying to figure out, okay, let's do it Christmas break. So we get it scheduled, and we got the doctors. It's hard sometimes to get a doctor on your schedule. So we were able to get that scheduled in. And I want to show you guys this picture. And this was Victoria's picture before she, the first one. Yeah. This was Victoria's picture before she had when she was getting ready to go into the surgery. And does this look like somebody's worry? She's happy-go-lucky, boy. She's just cool hand Luke. We're in, I've rehearsed saying this about a dozen times, and I should be good now. I shouldn't have to shed any tears. Because every time I think about this, this was a true blessing from the Lord. So this is real near and dear to my heart. So we're in here waiting for her to go into surgery. And Hope says, okay, let's pray. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, let me get myself together. We're working at not crying. We don't want to make her get scared from our, and she's all happy-go-lucky. We're like, oh, okay. So we pray, and this is a major surgery. This is when they rip open your back, and they put two titanium rods down the center of your spinal column where all the your nervous system goes through. This is very dangerous, and, one slight in the hand or misstep, paralyzed, deaf possibly, infections, all this stuff. So here's what worry does. It brings about all this stuff in your head. So I'm going through this, trying, working at focus and praying, and then they take her off and they have the surgery. I forgot how long it was. It was hours and hours and hours. So she has this long surgery. And, during the waiting time, what usually happens? Worry creeps in again. And you're like, we haven't heard anything. Well, I wonder what happened. I wonder what's going on. I hope it's going on. And man, I was dealing with some stuff. So I want to show you this. I want to tell you this first. Victoria's courage. She's doing peace signs, cracking jokes and laughing before the surgery. Her courage, which I don't think she realized she had at the time, it strengthened my spine. Because of her courage, I couldn't let myself look weak in front of her. And I said that to say this: when we're in our walk with Christ, our strength, our faith through grace that we have because of Christ, we have to exemplify that as we walk through life. Amen? So that we can strengthen other believers. Does that make sense? So let me go back. I sometimes I jump ahead of myself and I want to say some stuff and fear has a way of creating worry. So one of the main reasons why we worry is because of fear. We can do that for people when we worry. We can create fear in them when we're not focused on what we're supposed to be focused on. Lord Jesus, I remember when Pastor did this, he did this series. You all probably remember this. He did it on God did not give us this spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I think it was probably about 4 or 5 week series. And that's what we have to keep in mind. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So if we worry, we're open to being having unstable thoughts. As James put it in chapter 1, he said, somebody that's unstable gets like flapped in the wind. He's just double-minded. He's doing all types of stuff. We can get discouraged. We can even get to the point where we get depressed because what we wanted to happen actually didn't happen. Pastor calls it unrealistic expectations. We need to take every thought captive and seek first the kingdom of God, if that makes sense. if we take our requests to the Father and leave them at the altar, we will find peace no matter the results. Because we already have what we'd like to happen in our mind. But if that doesn't happen, the Lord should help us understand that, hey, I got this. I got this. So now I'll show the next picture, Pastor. So this picture, this is actually how her spinal, the first one is before. And the curve was created probably within a six-month period of time. She was straight, and then within 6 months, it curved like this. The second picture is the after. And those titanium rods in the bright white, and you can see the bolts that are screwed into a spinal column. That was a serious, serious operation. And praise the Lord that she came out just great. She actually was about an inch or so taller after the operation. I'm thankful that she wasn't a female basketball player where she would have went on a growth spurt. And I don't know, maybe they would have had to open her back up, take the rods out and reset them or something like that. I'm not sure, but I'm just grateful. She does this joke, and she catches me every now and then. Like one time she had some little small bubble wrap, and she said, "Dad, would you crack my back? I'm kind of stiff." And she asked me to hug her and just squeeze her. So as I squeezed her, she cracked the bubble wrap. And you talking about fear, worry, just I wanted to run and I almost fainted. Because I all shot through my mind, oh my God, what did I just do? Oh my God, it was almost to the point, I think I just killed her. And it was just straight fear. And then she started giggling. I said, I couldn't even get mad. I was just laughing because I'm like, I'm just glad you're all right. And every now and then she'll ask me, can you take me to the chiropractor or something? I'm not, no. You talking about somebody being squeamish around someone? I would like to take her and put her in one of those cabinets. What do they have those? My mom used to have the cabinet that you put all the plates and what do they call those cabinets? China cabinets. I like to just put her in a China cabinet. I don't want anything to bump up against her or anything. She had a major accident a couple years ago where her front end of the car got knocked off. And the first thing that came to my mind, I started worrying that something may happen to her. Worry is something that we deal with all the time. And there's two major things in worry. There's one that's practical worry, and then there's hypothetical worry. Practical worry, that's something that's solvable, like paying for an outstanding bill or paying a large bill, meeting a deadline at your job, just fixing something that needs to be fixed, something that's solvable. And we can get just all consumed and worried about stuff. I don't know if you guys have ever had to deal with deadlines. I remember when I was working in corporate America, it seemed like when I did business development, it seemed like every week there was a deadline because we had to talk about what we did for this week. And we had to present, the presentations that we did, the people that we talked with, the proposals that we were working on that we sent out, and we had to have this every single week. Every Monday morning, we had to do a meeting and present what we were supposed to be doing. And it was like, it was kind of stressful, and you worried about making sure that you did that stuff. I told you, I'm still working on this. The hypothetical worry, that revolves around issues that they haven't even happened yet. And it may not even happen. How many of y'all ever had thoughts? I used to have these all the time. What if I die? What if I get sick? I'm supposed to be somewhere. What if I get in an accident? All the what ifs. What if this? What if that? And we spend energy and time. I remember talking to the pastor about some stuff that I was worrying about, and he said, don't lose focus. Don't waste your energy on things that haven't happened, that may not happen. He said, just allow the peace of God to take care of that. Just leave it there. Cast all your cares upon him. And I just, it made sense. But you're still, internally, you're still working on this. You're still struggling with this, and you got to work it out where you can actually get to the point where you're able to deal with certain situations that come up all of a sudden, and you're all right with it. My pastor said, don't worry. I got two other stories, and then we'll get into the word. Y'all bear with me. So a couple weeks ago, last month, I got an opportunity to go and help out Pastor and Miss Rackett at their building. And they had a leak in their basement. The leak was dropping all the way down to the basement, and it was filling up garbage cans with water. I went into their apartment and couldn't figure, it wasn't leaking from their apartment. I went upstairs. You know, Brother Randy lives upstairs with Brandon. And I went up there, and they were having issues with their bathroom faucet. They weren't getting pressure. So I ended up doing a couple things, tearing out the wall, replacing the pipes that were clogged or corroded, and just, they were old pipes. So I took them out and put new copper pipes in. And while I had the wall open, I said, well, let me see if I can figure out where this leak is coming from. I looked all behind the bathtub and underneath it. I'm like, where is this leak? It was just driving me like to the point where I'm like, I can't figure this out. I go downstairs and talk to Pastor. Pastor's sitting in the room, and he's just as calm as can be. He said, I know my building. He said, there is a drum trap next to the bathtub. Now, I've been up in this bathroom, I don't know, a dozen times. I don't see a drum trap. He said, there's a drum trap up there. So I end up having to take the sink off the wall. And sure enough, there's the drum trap. So several years ago, there was some remodeling done in the bathroom, and the new sink was put in, and the new sink covered the drum trap. So I never could see it. So I had to remove the sink. And then I put a hole in the wall behind the sink, and I'm looking behind the wall, and sure enough, it's wet up there. I said, oh, okay, we're getting somewhere. There's some water coming from somewhere. So now that I got the water running in the bathtub, I turn that on. I see the water coming, and then I say, the wood's getting wet. Okay. This water's coming from somewhere up here. I'm narrowing it down. I got to say, okay. Then I look, the drum trap. I said, man, I go to take the drum trap cap off, and I literally turn it with my hand, and it comes up. As I took it off, I see the water coming from the bathtub, and it's raising up. And I said, man, the cap wasn't tight enough. So I put some Teflon tape around the cap, tighten the cap down, stop the leak. This leak had been going on for at least, I don't know, a week or two, and it was just dripping from the second floor all the way down to the basement. And I was thankful that it was solvable, amen? I didn't want to have to tear anything else up. I just wanted to resolve the issue. Story two. Last week, I got an opportunity to help a lady out. She was having financial issues. She needed a hot water tank. She didn't have the money, so she had to wait a week. She hadn't had hot water for 3 weeks. Three daughters in the house with her. No hot water for 3 weeks. So I'm like, okay, let me work at helping this lady out. They cut, here's the issue. I could change the tank with no problem, but they had the air conditioner lines ran in front of the hot water tank. Nowhere to move it, it was in a closet. So what had to happen is you had to remove the air conditioner line in order to get the tank out and put the new one in. Problem is you gotta get the gas out of the line before you can cut the line. I'm not an HVAC guy. I had to find an HVAC guy. He had to come and do it. Here's what ended up happening. Saturday night at 8:45, I started to put the hot water heater in because the HVAC guy, it took him about 4 hours to do what needed to be done. But I got it going, and then lo and behold, Sunday morning, last Sunday, she called me and she said, well, the hot water is going in the sink, but we don't have any hot water in our bathroom. It was the only bathroom in the house. So I left last Sunday from church, went over there, and had to unclog the faucet in the bathroom to get the hot water going for the lady. I know that's a story, but I'm going somewhere with this. Some of the issues that we deal with are because of old tanks, old plumbing pipes. It's kind of like living in sin. We build bad habits while living in sin without the Holy Spirit, but also while sinning after the Holy Spirit has come and dwelt in our heart. When we accept Jesus Christ, we heard, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. We hear that and we're like, oh, great. We ask, well, why am I still dealing with this? It's the same issue that I was dealing with before I accepted Christ. I still have an addiction. I still have this habit. I'm still attracted to the old sinful habits. I thought if I received Christ, I would be all new. Well, we need new pipes. We need a new hot water tank. We need the drum trap tightened so that that old self doesn't get an opportunity to come back out. That makes sense. We need to put on holiness. We need God's word through proper teaching. We need to surround ourselves with Christian brothers and sisters as much as possible. It's almost like being in kindergarten. We need to learn the alphabets of Scripture. We need to learn a new language. Well, how about when you're drafted to a team? You have new plays you have to learn, new defensive schemes. There's a new culture to learn, new rules, new curfews. Well, I hear what you're saying, but I thought I was free and free indeed, and I could do what I wanted to do, and God would clean up the mess. Well, we still have responsibility because we're the homeowners. We have to take proper preparation to promote perfecting performance for ourselves, because we'll weep what we sow. You see, what's going through those drain pipes has clogged the drainage process, and the water is coming back up. That's what happens in our life when we put the wrong things inside our bodies. From what we watch, what we eat, what we say, what we listen to, and who we associate with. We get the wrong results, then we worry. We become unstable, double-minded, and we get the results that we don't want. Can I give you a real quick couple of physical health reasons why we shouldn't worry? This should narrow it down for you. Worry over time will damage our cardiovascular system, raising our blood pressure and our heart rate, which can increase the risk of heart disease, heart and arteries, and can even give us a stroke. It can mess up our immune system, weakening our body's natural defense system, leading to frequent illnesses, and it can make us more susceptible to viruses. It can mess up our muscular system, shoulder pain, neck pain, headaches, just feeling uncomfortable. It can also mess up our digestive system, making us nauseous, having acid reflux, diarrhea, constipation, and stomach ulcers. Last thing, the nervous system, feeling chronic fatigue, dizziness, and unable to concentrate. Worry can affect our health big time. So when Pastor mentioned to us, don't worry, he not only mentioned it to us for our spiritual, he mentioned it to us for our physical. Amen? So now let's get into our scripture. Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. Now, this is after the famous Last Supper, what we just talked about a little while ago. The infamous stinky, nasty foot washing that Brandon preached on last week. And the prayer in the garden and the betrayal of Judas. And then Jesus being arrested. This is after that. So in verse 66, it says, I'm reading from the English Standard Translation. I think it's up there on your screen. Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, you were one of those with Jesus of Nazareth? But Peter denied it. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling others, this man is definitely one of them. But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, you must be one of them, because you're a Galilean. Peter swore, a curse on me. If I'm lying, I don't know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me. And he broke down and wept. You're probably thinking in your mind, what does this have to do with worry? Well, Peter was big time fearful. He was full of emotions. He had just chopped somebody's ear off. One of the guards, he had just chopped the ear off of one of them. Jesus put it back on. Imagine a family member, a loved one, a daughter, a son, your mother, your father. Imagine them, someone doing harm to them. What would happen in your thought process? In other words, Peter was worried. Oh, you think he was double-minded? Yes, absolutely. He was doing all this stuff. He was very emotional. He was out of control. It was total chaos all over the place. He's like, man, what are they doing? They were spitting on him. They slapping Jesus. Brandon's in there laughing because he probably would have jumped up and picked up a chair and just started wailing at somebody. But that's Peter. He's like, hey, there's no way. How would you all feel if someone tried to come and do some damage to Pastor Rackett? What would you do? Would you get worried? What happened? Think about it. So Peter's going through all this stuff. He's like, this is my Lord. I've been hanging around with him for 3 years. I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him heal the sick. What are they doing to him? No, you're not taking him away. He had just said earlier, man, I'll die for you, Lord. He was overwhelmed. He lied three times, cursed. He did some stuff that he knew he shouldn't have done. He had vehemently told them, hey, I'll die with you if that's what has to happen. Jesus had prophesied earlier that all this stuff was going to take place. Peter forgot just that quick. Peter was worrying so much that he did the unthinkable. He's blurting out stuff that he's done throughout his time with Jesus. He's just blurting out stuff. Brandon mentioned last week how he said, "No, Lord, there's no way you're going to wash my feet, Lord." And he said, "Well, you're not going to enter my kingdom." He said, "Well, wash everything." Peter's something else. Peter did all that. But what did he end up doing in the long run? So we could take that this example from Peter and you think, man, that was so dumb. Well, how could he do that? Well, we do dumb stuff. Us parents, we look at our children and we go, I can't believe that. What were they thinking? It's the same example here. The same thing. But worry kicks in, right? Peter was worrying so much, he did some dumb stuff. Here's the thing. We have to be dogmatic in our walk with Jesus. We have to be dogmatic. Have you ever been dogmatic about something? How many of y'all ever been to a conference or something, a Christian conference or some type of event? Maybe for your job, you were learning a different technique and they gathered everybody in and everybody got all excited. They're all fired up. They leave out of there. Man, we're gonna slam this. This year is our year. We're going to do this. And all of a sudden, a week after, you're back to where you were before the conference happened. You fall flat on your face. And then you start worrying and you get concerned. In other words, you get all pumped up just to end up back at the spot you were. Why? Because you haven't been grounded. You haven't been grounded. What if we were missionaries and we were in a Islamic territory and the Islamic, the radical Islamists came up to us and we were out there serving the people. We were washing feet. You know, we were sharing the gospel. We were feeding the sick and helping the sick. And, you know, Rochelle was giving physical therapy for some of the folks that couldn't move properly. And all of a sudden, these Islamic terrorists come up to us in a pickup truck with stuff around their face, carrying an AR-15, and they say, "Hey, we know you all are Christians. If you don't denounce your Christianity faith, we're going to kill you." What would you do? Be honest. What would you do? Of course, you would probably start worrying, but more than likely, Lord willing, you wouldn't denounce our Lord Jesus Christ. Because to live without him is death already, but to live for him is gain. So Peter, you got to think what's going through his mind. These guys had the audacity to go get Jesus. And these guys had just had, man, they were just celebrating Passover. They had everything was hunky-dory. They were learning stuff. And all of a sudden now, they didn't pick them up. So all this stuff's flashing through his mind. Peter's a flawed human being. Jesus was his plumb line. He was his everything. He was like, man, they're getting ready to take him. So imagine your loved one getting taken. We've all had a loved one pass away. Just, you know, Peter's going through all this stuff in real time. And so after all this stuff, Peter realizes, he goes, oh, my God. He heard that rooster crow the second time, and he said, "Oh." And you know what he did? He repented. He wept. He was sorry. He said, "Man, I'm so sorry, Lord." You know, in the Passion of Christ, they show the character of Jesus during that time in the movie. When that rooster crows, when he denies Christ three times, they show Christ's eye, look at him. That had to pierce his heart. If that happened, that had to pierce his heart. So our next passage is catering towards this. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 16. And this is a passage that everybody's familiar with. I would recommend to you to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, because it's basically this is a summarization of chapter 6. But 13 through 16, a little background on that. Solomon had just finished dedicating the temple, and all the people were praising the Lord. They were on cloud nine. Everything was great. The temple was filled with the holiness of God. They couldn't even get in there because of that. And they were just like, oh, my goodness, this is awesome. We got our temple. And then the Lord says this, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Do y'all remember times in the Bible where locusts were sent? Remember in Egypt? Y'all remember times in the Bible where there was a drought? I'm trying to remember who preached recently when they were talking about, maybe it was a message I was listening to, but when Elijah, the Tishbite, when he was confronting all the false prophets, and there was a drought in the land, and they were all praying for water. Remember that? So the Lord tells Solomon, well, if I shut all this down, what's going to be the response of my people? In verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Only then. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. The Israelites were going through a test. They were going to be put through a test. The Lord says, y'all just celebrate it. Remember Passover? They had just celebrated Passover. Y'all just celebrate it. The temple is now dedicated. Everybody's good. Everybody's happy. Y'all just celebrate it. Now here comes the test. Let's see who really believes. Let's see who's really planted in fertile soil, like in the parable of the sower. Let's see who's rooted in firm foundation. Who will respond in holiness? Then he told them, if some of you all start to worry and turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments and serve other gods, turn away from the faith, basically, he will uproot you and put you out of his land. In other words, there's new rules. There's new curfews. There's new standards. There's a new culture when you're my people. You can't bring in worldly stuff into my house. It's not tolerated. He wants us to be holy. He also wants us not to worry. I believe one key component of our conversion from sin to living for Jesus is repentance. Repentance is that 180-degree turn from our sinful ways that we had before we actually accepted Christ, that confession and belief in our heart. We have to be willing to give God our all. He wants it all. It's a process in holiness. Being called to be humble, to pray without ceasing, seeking God and turning away from sin. This is a process that's not so easy. I think that the way some pastors, preachers, teachers explain the Christ message, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, I think the way people hear it and they start understanding this way, they think that life's going to get simpler. Life's going to be easier. I'm going to be more blessed. I'm going to be more profitable. I'm just going to do what I need to do, do what I got to do. I'm going to do everything according to this way or that way, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I think people get that mindset from the way the gospel is preached these days. But that's not life. That's not the Christian life. And it's not also you're going to go through struggle and pain and suffering for the rest of your life. No, but you will go through that. But you won't go through it forever. There's going to be tests in our life. Just like the test. See, what Peter went through was a test. They were just having Passover. They were excited. And then this happens. And then he responded wrong. In 2 Chronicles, they had just celebrated the temple being, being built and altars dedicated to all the people of Israel. And then he said, I'm gonna stop the rain for a little bit. Let's see how they respond. Are you going to respond the right way when issues hit you in life? Or are you going to worry? Or are you going to do what it says in 2 Chronicles? Before I close out, I want to just share some verses to meditate on. This is a proverb. You can write these down. You don't have to look them up. I'm just going to read through some of them. But they totally blend into this message. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." In John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then Philippians chapter 4. "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That is the process of holiness. Keep putting in practice all you learned and received in me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. That's the process of holiness right there. You think on those things. How can we stop worrying? Thinking on the right thing, associating with the right people. It's kind of like a locker room chat. And lastly, if there's anyone listening, hearing this message, maybe at a later date, if you want to know Jesus Christ, he died for your sins so we would not get what was coming for us. In other words, we wouldn't go to hell. Jesus died on the cross to take away the sin penalty for all of us that believed in him. Jesus made it possible because he rose from the grave on the third day, walked among the living, walked with his disciples, and then ascended to heaven. He conquered death. By repenting of our sins, past, present, and future, and accepting him as Lord and Savior, confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. We will defeat death. We won't go to the lake of eternal fire. Do you truly want to know him? That is the process. It's not an easy process to live through. For all of us that's been letting worry get to us, and it's been maybe messing up our walk in holiness, I pray that we can repent and ask God for forgiveness to help us be more holy and to thank him for making us aware of our shortcomings through his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word and how you dealt with Peter, how you dealt with the Israelites, and how you're dealing with us. You're putting examples throughout scripture for us to understand so that we can be more sound-minded, so that when issues come in our life, and the first thing we maybe are used to doing is worrying, and maybe we shouldn't do that. You said in your word, don't worry, you've given us the power of love and a sound mind. I pray that we can stand on your word when issues come around, that we can make you look good, Lord. We can learn from what Peter did and just say, man, God's got me. So thank you, Lord. We love you. And we'll give you all the honor and praise today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.